I have walked to complete the journey to go and preach. I have, you know, sat in buses to go to places. And the bus was blowing smoke. You know those ones that don't close very well? You get what I'm talking about? They put load. They didn't even put load. The boot just didn't close. You now sat in the last row or one of the last two rows. And as they are going, you don't know the physics behind it, but the thing, instead of the smoke to go out, it's sucking back into the vehicle. When you reach there, they think you smoked, you know. You develop allergies you were not born with. You know, things just... I mean, and we endured it. We still went to where we wanted to go to. What's the big deal? Went to all kinds of places. But believe me, I've not done such in such a long time. I haven't. And believe me, I prefer the one I'm doing right now. It's better. It's far better. I won't lie to you. You know, I won't deceive you. No, I prefer the fact that we enter our own car, wind up the glass. This one day I was driving. There's a bus section during dry season after Oka on your way to Onitsha. That's stretch. You know, dust, dry season. Cars were going, phew. I was in my car. My glass was wound up. I was feeling sorry for the people in Peaceman's Transit. That is, my spirit was groaning for them. Father, deliver them in the name of Jesus. Because I couldn't imagine inhaling this dust. This had doctors say you develop pneumoconiosis. Lung fibrosis. If you inhale dust like this, you can't preach well. Believe me. After you have preached for 30 minutes, you'll be tired. They won't know why. It's the dust on the road. It's not like you were preaching normally before. Prosperity is having not to inhale dust when you are going to preach. If there's dust, we'll still go. But rather, there was no dust. There's no glory in preaching inside dust. It doesn't make people understand the gospel better. Forget it, will make it look as if the things of God must be hard. Listen, if it is hard, we will endure it. But if God says, choose between the hard and the soft. I said, Lord, is it the same effect? He said, yes, bring the soft one. What is it? After all, if hardness was that good, when we get to heaven, everything will have been harder still. God says, it's for your good. We are defining prosperity. It is having enough to do the will of God for your life and to enjoy doing it. And then, having abundance, stores to help other people do the same. Food is not sweet, you know what I mean? The taste on it is not like that unless you are eating it with somebody else. That is when it is, you know? Remember the stories one man told that one day some people were eating in the house. They saw one young boy peeping from the window looking at the food. So they went and called him. Come in, come and eat. So the young boy, poor boy, you know, was very happy. He came in. He sat down. Eat now. He will eat something. I'll be looking out of the window. What is the problem? Why don't you want it? Now he said, actually, he didn't come alone. He said that his friends are outside. So the rich man went and opened the door and called everybody in. Then he could eat. Are you getting my point? That is prosperity eating. Somebody say amen. How do you do best? They say, today is my birthday. Now you chop the cake, the ice cream. No, that's not a birthday. He says, it's your birthday, only you ate the cake. It's your birthday, you ate the ice cream. It's your birthday, you took the picture, snapped yourself. Abba! Something is wrong. What is prosperity? Is having enough to help other people do the will of God. Please, you know, my message today, I think that's the Holy Spirit wants us to do. First, he wants us to accept it. Many people in their hearts, the only reason why they are praying is so that they can have enough to eat. And God says, that is why I've not given you anything. Let's read more particular scripture. It will help me explain what I'm going to say. Quickly, go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. I just want to quickly explain why God has not been able to bless us the way he wants to. At the end of today, what I want to do, one of the things I will have, I hope I will have achieved, is to help us understand and help us activate the faith to receive. Are you getting my point? That's what we're talking about. Isaiah chapter 49. He said, "Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, O peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword, and in the shadow of his hand he has concealed me." Now, please, follow me here. We're talking about a ministry, a calling. "And he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver." That is, he made me a select arrow, prepared me, then he hid me in his quiver. "He said to me, 'You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will show my glory.' But I said," now this is why I'm reading this, we're not discussing this in details, there's something here I just want to apply. "But I said," he said, "I have toiled in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." Let me just really apply this. This is not a direct interpretation, it's an application. What was Isaiah saying here? This is a prophetic psalm, okay? But basically what Isaiah was saying is that I'm not getting the results I wished for. I know I'm anointed. I know I'm called. I know I have the grace of God, all right, to fulfill the preaching of the word. But what is happening right now is that all my preaching, all my toiling has been in vain. That's what's happening right now. That is, I'm not getting the results that I desire for. Are you getting my point? I have invested in businesses. They have not worked. I have tried, you know, I've applied for many jobs. I've not been taken. I'm a contract person. I've applied to do many contracts. Nothing has come through. He now said, "Surely the justice due to me is with the Lord." God says, "I've tried my best. I have worked in righteousness, but nothing is working." He said, "My reward is with my God." Now notice verse 5. He said, "But now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him." I feel very prophetic in this, so please follow me closely. "So that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength." This is what God says in verse 6. "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel." Let me put them in bracket, alone. "I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, the one that the business is not working, the investments are not working, the attempts at succeeding is not working, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers." Notice the one abhorred by the nation. Israel, he was preaching to, they are not listening. Where he was striving to get results is not working. "To that particular person, I say, kings will see you and arise. Princes will also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." He said, "Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time, I will have answered you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages." Let me stop here because of time, please. There's a reason why I read this. I just want to bring out a particular spirit from here. The man was laboring in what we can call ministry. He was believing God for the nation to respond to him. But you know what's happening? They were not responding. And when he cried to God, God said in effect, listen to this, that what you have been focusing on, I have not been able to do it for you. I told you it's an application I'm bringing forth from it, all right? I have not been able to do it for you. It's because what you are believing me for, if I give it to you, you'll be satisfied. And when you're satisfied, I can't get to the level I want to get to. You want to redeem this nation alone. He said it is too small a thing. Are you getting my point? Instead of just redeeming this nation, I want, listen to what he said, verse 6. "It is too small a thing that it should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved one of Israel alone." I'm the one that added the word alone. "I will also make you a light to the nations." God is saying in effect, many people here, listen to me, many people listening to me right now, God said, the reason why you have labored, the reason why you have tried and it hasn't worked is because what you are trying to achieve is too small. I don't know whether you heard that. many people have been looking for a job just to pay rent, buy clothes, and eventually get married, have one, two children. The way human beings like to have children these days, don't have too many because it's a problem from the Lord. Yes, that's how we read the Bible. Children are a problem from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is harassment. Blessed is a man that has as few as possible. That is the Bible that many of us read. All right? So basically, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. And God says, listen, I'm sorry, I cannot oblige you that. If I give that to you, this is how 1,000 people will not get a job. Are you getting my point? This is how 1,000 families will not be fed. This is the reason why the nation will not develop. This is why I can never make you what I intended for you to be in life, because you are going to be satisfied quickly with a small thing. You would think it's humility, but I call it small-mindedness. Many people brag on their humility. God said it's a lie. They are proud. They are not following me. Because pride is when you hold on to your own ideas and you don't learn the ideas of God. That's what pride is. Many people that you think are humble, they are not humble. They are stubborn. Listen, I'm telling the truth. Many people you think are humble, they are not humble, they are stubborn. There are many people, you know the problem? They are afraid. If they believe some of these things you are saying, they have to stop sleeping till 10 o'clock every day. You are going to shake them out of their comfort. Then suddenly they have to now start extending and believing God for great things. A problem may be good, but it's still a problem. Some people don't want problem at all. What I mean by problem is that, listen, if only you are running a business, you don't pay anybody. You know it's good. If there's no money, only you. But if you have to pay 10 people, I don't know whether I get my point. If you're a man that knows to worry, you have to worry. If you know a man that knows to pray, you will pray. But one way or the other, the money must come. Either it comes by faith, or it comes by worry. If it comes by worry, you get the money, you die. Okay? If it comes by faith, you get the money, you live, and you do the will of God. But one way or the other, the money must come. And that is the thing a lot of people don't want. You think he's humble? No, he's not humble. He's afraid. A lot of people don't want to have to be discussing big things. It will give them a headache. Listen to me. You must get ready for that headache and learn how to take the spiritual analgesic to solve it. But you cannot live life and be small. You cannot promote the kingdom of God like that. You know, one of my favorite Nigerians, I'm not saying I like his life totally, but I just like to use him as an example. You know, I like Dangote for one reason. You know the reason? I'll tell you. Because for me, it shows what... I'm not saying he's a good man or a bad man. It's an Aji Aliko Dangote. I don't know whether he's a Christian in secret or a Muslim in open. That's not what I'm talking about. I just like, there are some things people criticize about him that I say, you are criticizing what actually is what the Bible calls the glory. Let me explain anything. Do you know there are government policies that government will not make if it doesn't favor the man? Some people think it's corruption. It's not corruption. If you are the single largest employer of labor in any country, only a fool of a leader wants your business to spoil. By the time you remove government, who employs more human beings than he does? Think about, you know, people don't reason well. Listen, when American banks wanted to collapse and the government bailed them out, it wasn't out of the law for the bankers alone. I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm going to make here. Listen, God does not want, you see, there are different aspects of life. It's not all of us that are going to be preachers. Everybody has own sphere of influence. Thank God for Strive, Mercy, what I was telling you about earlier. When I tell you that he's taking head of state head on, he's not talking 5,200 naira. When they are discussing, it's $100 million we are talking about. When they say we are withdrawing your license, the man is not talking about license he bought for 15,000 naira, the one you pay to Eswama. Listen, he's talking about I paid $50 million for a license. You can't withdraw it like that. So the man goes to court, said, man, if not fight, let's fight this thing out. Then he gathers his men. I've heard the story before. The men will use prayer and fasting to destroy you if you don't get out of the way. I know Christian businessmen like that. Many. Oh, tomorrow we are going to talk. So gather the staff in the office. Guys, this night, nobody's sleeping. All right, start praying. These are the scriptures. Begin to declare. He goes, He's there, a guy just saying, good morning, sir. You're welcome to the meeting. His boys are behind. You are negotiating with spirits, you don't know. You are negotiating with spirits. Oh God, you know what I'm preaching? God wants you to go to a place where he can demonstrate his power. You are killing your neighbor in the market. God wants you to get to a place where you and your friends, you will join hands and say, this is too much. Who does this man think he is? Bring your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we reject him. And the head of state is impeached. That's what we are talking about. That a man sits in power. And because they make him a minister in any country in the world, and he wants to be an obstruction to the progress of your work, which you understand is the work of the kingdom. You call it, why, baby, I'm angry. You say, why is it annoying? You say, this man does not understand that it's God that makes kings. Give me your hands. And you just read the scripture from the book of Daniel chapter 4. You explain to him from the book of Psalms 75 that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men. He brings down one and lifts up another. Father, let him understand it in the name of Jesus. Supposed to see you by 9 tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. Somebody leaks a secret about him to the head of state. That one calls and says, you want to embarrass my government? Resign. You didn't say anything. It's the spirit that went out. His spirit went out and gathered the man's resignation. I said, get out. The other day I was watching David Green. For those of you who don't know David Green, I want to let you know David Green. Who is David Green? How many of you have a smartphone here? Put up your hand if you have a smartphone. Most of your hands are up. Praise the Lord. How many of you have YouVersion Bible on your smartphone or smart device? Thank you. Many hands up. David Green is the one that pays for you to have all those Bibles free of charge. One man. Oh, you just go. You download. I keep on telling you, it is free for you. Doesn't mean it is free. Somebody is paying. There is no version of the Bible. I downloaded the Yoruba Bible. Yeah, Yoruba Bible. I have not read that since I was a child. David Green gave me a Yoruba Bible free. Somebody had to put it there. So many of those Bibles are not free. New American Standard, Amplified Message, New Living Translation, they are not free. Most of the modern Bibles are not free. Who is David Green? Go and Google up his name. David Green. His family owns what they call Hobby Lobby in the United States of America. The man is worth some few billions of dollars. Barack Obama, in his government, said, you have to pay for contraception and abortion against your faith. David Green said, no. He said he went to court. Of course, the deadline was approaching. He's fine for the size of his company. If he doesn't pay insurance for that will the health insurance that will cover contraception and abortion against his faith, the fine was going to be about $10 million a day. I've gotten a certain, let me not give figures, but it was going to ruin the company in a few months. So he decided that, no, I'm not going to pay. It's against my faith. But I don't want my company to collapse. I employ tens of thousands of people. And what did they do? The men gathered to pray. They prayed, the whole family prayed, and then his lawyers went to court. They lost the first point. He said, no, appeal that case. Finally, they won. The American appeal, the what they call their circuit, the court of appeal covering that area, all right, ruled that the man, they should grant him an injunction so that he got an extension from that deadline while the whole battle went on. Finally, he won, and they said it's a privately held company. He has a right to run it in accordance with his faith. Thank you very much. That was the first time I didn't know it used to happen. He appealed a judgment that he won. I don't know whether I get the point. He said, let me drag it to the Supreme Court once and for all. He dragged the matter to the Supreme Court. Listen, the men were not taking things for granted. They were at home praying. Finally, the Supreme Court said, he's right. He does not have, he lost at the first level. The state said you had to pay. Federal government said you had to pay. He said, I am not paying. This is against my faith. It's against the will of God. This, my company, is run on Christian principles. Go and Google up the story. I'm not telling you stories that I'm imagining. David Green, Hobby Lobby. Finally, the Supreme Court again said yes. The decision is right. He has the right to run a company the way he thinks is in accordance with his faith. And he won that victory, listen to me, for all the men that only have $1,000. They can't go to court. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you about wealth. There are fights you fight in life. You know, a bishop is not here. Sometimes we're talking. I said, this is a fight we should fight, but it's not my fight. I'm a preacher. What I mean is that a government can tell you, pay this money. Say, this money is not legal. The other day, Federal City said, everybody, go and change your license plate. All of us were angry. Well, did you do anything? No. People were paying $25,000. Those who had two cars, three cars, were paying $100,000 to change a license plate that had nothing wrong with it. One man in Lagos said, no, I'm not going to pay. He dragged FRSC to court. Court said the former license plate was a constitutional matter, that is a law in the country. There is no law saying that that one has been cancelled. He won the victory for everybody in Nigeria. I don't know that guy. He saved me 50,000 naira. I don't know him. Listen, that's what life is. I don't need to explain. That is what life is. Don't just sit down there and say, what am I looking for? Other people are looking for something and you are the one that will give it to them. That is what I am preaching. Nobody's preaching covetousness here. There are fights you are supposed to fight. It doesn't concern you alone. You could pay. Government said do this. You could pay the 100,000 naira and forget it. But he said this law is unjust. And God said, that was why I gave you money. That's why your company puts into your pocket every month 20 million naira in profits into your pocket alone. How much food can you eat? What are you going to do? Say, hire me as a senior advocate. Tell him, kill that case. You're not benefiting anything. You could have paid, the law is just 100,000 naira. But it's going to cost you 2 million naira to fight it. But God says, fight it for the interest of justice. That's what wealth is about. I want you to get angry with poverty. That does not allow you to talk. Listen, it's not everything God wants us to answer with prayer. David Green could pray, but he had to go to court. God said, look, pray. Yes, Daniel, you are praying now. I need to raise Cyruses all over the place that will fight and destroy oppression. That's what we are talking about. I told you something earlier. Let me just say it again. It's not everything God solves with. Just pray about it and leave it. Say, now that you have prayed about it, I want people to rise up and say, what's all this noise about UNTH? Let's make it inconsequential in this area. Say, what do you mean? Boys, bring money, let's get investors. I open doors for you. You get massive stretches of land. Start your own hospital. If they're on strike, the region won't feel it. Are you getting my point? And that's what I keep on saying. Christians think everything is about money. Human generally, Christians must not be like that. Everything's about money. There are business you will do. God says, don't worry, it will not make you any personal profit. I've already made you rich. There are things you do when you have made money. You're already wealthy. So now what we're going to do now is just to be spending. As we are not idiots, we're not fools, we are children of God, our spending is going to be righteous spending. So you come to this area and say, why are they always going to India? When these hospitals don't work, no wahala. You will go to the same hospitals, hire the striking people, give them job. They say, if you strike here, you will sign an agreement. It's only when God has given you money that you talk such talk. I don't know whether you're getting my point. There are things you don't do because you prayed. Just because you're the only one praying. Thank you for praying, but your prayer, it will work in somebody else's life in a different manner. You know, I told that one of the reasons why I used to like Dan Gote, because he's doing things that Christians should be doing. They say, Boko Haram is bombing. The man went there and said, okay, Pele, Boko Haram bombing. All widows, 100 million. And all this Pele that doesn't come with cash, keep it in your house. Go and meet a man who's sick. He needs money for a hospital bill. You are doing Pele. Okay? I don't need your Pele. Go away. Give this doctor 2,000 for me. I know you are saying Pele. Do you get my point? If every Pele drops 1,000, Pele, 1,000. But then I hear 50 Pele, 50K. I pay the doctor, I get well, I go home. And then when they wanted to say Pele, he dropped, how much was it? Is it 200 million or 300? The man just, okay, oh, all the victims of bombing. The Christians, it's good though, we are good people though. We're taking offering. Please support Boko Haram victims. Hey, Father. I hate, you know, one of the reasons why you don't hear me say offering time in Kingdom World Ministries? There's one major reason. The idea that everybody say, I must give something when I come. And what is it, give something? 100 naira, 50 naira. They vex my body. People treat as if God is a beggar. The same money you give in traffic for the boy who cleaned your window, you come to church, drop the same amount. It upsets my soul. For me, treat it. You know when you want to buy that pair of shoes you admire? You know the way you get ready and you go with courtesy. Good afternoon, sir. Can I have that pair? You know that kind of thing? And you swipe correct cash, you get a POS. People can give, you know, you get my point. No, Christian, you're like, if you do as if trust him now, offering 10-10 kobo. 10-10 kobo is good, though. Let me tell you, the widow tried with the might, but the might did not build that temple. Her might was good for her and her God. But God had to raise other people to multiply the might. If not might, that temple would have taken a million to build, a million years. When Dangote wanted to say sorry to Boko Haram victim, he said it in a very godly fashion. Some people are writing an article in the paper. Dangote didn't write an article. He went and said, they bombed this place. Ah, give me 200 million naira. Sorry. Oh, Father God, I love that girl. I'm sorry. Those who are crying before say, wait, we'll share this money for this crime. Wipe their faces. Wipe their faces. Who will wipe their faces first? I mean, you know, when you want to solve problems like that, you go somewhere. Like I told you, I feel like gisting. There are some villages that say that the boys are not going to school. I told one of my colleagues. He was telling me the story of his life. He said, do I know that in his village, there are very few people there are educated. It's from the middle belt. That he was there were seven people better than him in his school, secondary school. I said, how do you know there were some people better than you? He said, because I always came eighth. That every exam, I always be number eight. He said, and it was an accident. The way he went to school, he was just telling me the story. That it got to a point, one small mistake happened. They had to gather people to go to secondary school. There was a way they missed something. I can't remember the details now, but he was chosen. He said, I wasn't the best. There were seven people better than me. From there, he went to a higher institution, became a doctor, became a specialist, he's not a professor, you get my point. When he was telling me the story, I told him, I said, you know why God made your life like that? He said, why? I said, what you now need to do, look around for a few people like you in that community. I'm talking about wealth now. I said, go back home. See those boys in your village? You know what you're going to do to them? Gather a few of you, each one of you drop 20,000 naira a month. You get 100K a month. Then go to NYC camp. Tell them to post coppers here. Get a small house, rent a small house to put the coppers. I said, buy them a small, tiny generator. You know this generator? I better pass my neighbor. Buy them a small one and buy a satellite dish, these cheap ones. Pay small subscription for them and tell the boys, stay here, don't redeploy, stay a whole year. This is where you will stay. Then we will be, whatever the NYC is giving you, we are committing to give you this certain amount extra. The only thing I want is that make sure these boys know English, mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology. Pick it. I said, pick them like that. I said, if you guys do this consistently for a few years, you come back in 10 years' time, your community will be full of graduates and rich people. That is what they call wealth. That was the counsel I gave him. I said, look, you think this testimony you're giving me, it's not supposed to end there. I said, now that has happened to you, go back and say, this is the end. From here, it will become regular that people succeed. Because it's not as if your committee has a society of dunces there. No. It's just that there are no good schools and there's no encouragement. That's all. I served somewhere in Taraba State where 90% of all the teachers in the community were used coppers. NYC closed, school closed. And that's why people say, scrap NYC. I say, I will never support it in 1,000 years. That's what wealth is for. God blesses you. No, I started by talking about how to say sorry. That's why God has to bless you. You can't be telling me this nonsense that after what's a man looking for? A man is looking for how to help the society.
what the Lord wants believers to do. Do you get my point? It's not about money now. Say, the only reason why he gives us money is so we'll be able to do. Many Christians are just wasting. You know why they won't prosper much? God prospers them small. And they start wasting. Start wasting. Running all over the place, pursuing what's not pursuing them, buying things they don't need, competing with people that don't know they are there. Like I always like to add, one day we literally have to face the judgment throne of Christ Jesus and explain what we did with the gift that he gave to us. Like I told you, my message today is just to expand the hearts of believers to understand what wealth is about and be willing to receive it. Leave this cult, you know what I call cult of poverty? Leave it. Those who say that, that's a Christian looking for, leave them alone. Any man who's saying that, ask him, how many other people have you helped pay their fees? You say, what's a Christian looking for? I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I want to be able to stand and go to a public school, say, why are these teachers not working regularly? I want to be able to put a competition down for teachers in a public school. And say, at the end of the year, you do this, your pupils do this, I give them a test, they pass like this. I sponsor you and your spouse for a weekend holiday in Dubai with $2,000 free for shopping. Forget this. Don't let me curse anybody. All these stupid people that we have there doing what do you call Gouda, Ultimate Search, they are not helping anybody. They just want to sell more Gouda. God needs you and me to walk over to a party. What are you even saying in school? Walk to a police station and say, what do you guys need here? You know, they say, where you will bless a police station if you walk in and say, I hear you detain this man. Why? They will explain to you. Yes. You just went there, you painted the place for them. Regularly you come, weekends, you pay for dinner, you know, for lunch for everybody there. You say, oh, DPO's office doesn't have a computer. You dash him a computer. They said that we need money for fire. You buy them. How much is fire? You buy a bundle, say, okay, anytime you need fire, go here and collect. Next time, if they do anyhow, you go say, ah, Oga DPO, what is going on here? Do you know he will explain to you? Say, ah, sir, it's not like that. No, listen, I'm telling you, I've talked to some of these policemen. The government gives them nothing to run those places. There's one I know, they opened a new police station and made him the DPO and didn't give him one kobo. So he was looking for who to arrest. Now, whether you're innocent or not, doesn't matter. When you're proven you're innocent, he will say no problem. But please, this roof is leaking now. In your innocence, why don't you do something? So this is the reason why we Christians, that's how we talk the way we talk. Like I said the other day, look, I have to impact many people. Me, Banky. Banky has to impact many people. Say amen.
Amen.
When I'm traveling, I can't be wasting time at the airport. I need to call you and say, I'm traveling tomorrow. Have a plane for me. I'm not planning to buy. Thank God for your life. Ever since I discovered that you will be rich, I said no need for me to buy again. I will tell you simply, listen, I'm leaving from Enugu so and so time. After that, from there, I have to preach in Abuja. I'll be in Abuja for this period. These guys are in Lagos, they are waiting for me. Say, sir, thank you very much. Which time do you want to leave? I'll bathe in my house, eat in my house, kiss my wife bye-bye. 2 hours later, I started preaching. 4 hours later, I'm preaching in Lagos. And I sleep in Lagos, and I tell you, you pick me up tomorrow morning. Amen. I know the part of it I enjoy most. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That is the part I'm looking forward to. Somebody will see me one day and say, ah, you're arriving. They look and say, oh, you have many? No, I don't have many. The Lord just has need of it. When I need, I send for the cult. You know? Somebody say amen. That's what we are talking about in Christianity. Let me just add this one to it. This is actually what I want to preach today. The Holy Spirit just got me stuck here. And then we leave. I hope I have done something. I hope I have explained to believers that, listen, let's not stay with this poverty thing. Let's in our heart expect God to lift us to a level of grace where we can do His will and help other people do the same. That's what we're talking about. Let me just introduce this and I close. In 5 minutes, I'm out of here. I want to just establish a principle. Quickly open to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. There is a procedure for possessing the land. And that's what I want to explain. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to emphasize the fact that there is a procedure for possessing the land. I will not read all of this now, but just to introduce this subject so we can go home. He said, now it shall be, if you diligently obey, if you diligently hearken, King James would say, literally he said, if you shall listening to the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today. He said, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed, he said, shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. That verse 3 is the one I want to read again. He said, blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. He says that about, if you read many translations, he keeps on using the word field. And that's what I want to just introduce. I said something earlier, that God does not just like working miracles. This is what a lot of people expect, that they'll just be walking on the road, and the gates of heaven will open, and God will pour a blessing upon their head, and the blessing shall fall in naira, in dollars, in pounds, in gold, in silver, physically, and they shall collect it and take it home. And they say, God has worked a miracle. Listen to me. That is not what God loves to do. There is a proper procedure, please, because I'll develop it next time. There is a proper procedure for God to bring wealth into your hands. And when we were going to the promised land, he told them something. In the wilderness, you can have manna. It can fall from heaven. He said, but in that land I have blessed, that you are going to take from that giant, I'm adding new words to it now. In that land, what I have given you is seed time and harvest. You will plant. You will have time, and then you will harvest. If you do not plant in the planting season, there will be nothing for you in the harvest season. Moses said, blessed you will be in the field. That is, you must have a field. I'm applying it again now, not being literal in the interpretation. You must have what? A field. You must have a place from which the blessing will be converted from a spiritual substance into a material substance. He calls it the field. I said something the other day when we were talking, Apostle. I said that they went and saw a land that was flowing literally with milk and honey. Very fertile land. They had grapes. They had things that were productive. I said everything they saw belonged to somebody. That's why God said you have to fight for it. That is, if you want, the land may be fertile, but the grapes will grow in somebody's field. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So God said, listen, first thing you do, acquire a field. When Isaac was going to be blessed, he had to sow in that land. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain here. I want to introduce something. All right? We'll continue next time. For all Christians to know that the miracle of the Christian is not... You see, all these testimonies of praise the Lord. Yesterday, I was very broke and I needed school fees and somebody gave me. It's because it was school fees. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, school fees. You're a child. You are looking for what? School fees. All these testimonies that I was just going on the road. I was very broke and I just prayed. And it is, that money will not do anything serious for you. It will just help you tide over. You pay the school fees, then you are broke again. You have to believe God for money to use to eat before the exam. And it's okay while you're a student. As you are growing in life, God said this kind of emergency miracles, the angel is going on retirement. Oh no, he's not retiring. I'm redeploying him to another student. That what I'm going to do is to multiply your field. I hope you're getting my point. That's the summary of what I want to introduce now. Filled. 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 God says, everybody, let me know your field. There's a way you interpret that. I like the way the Englishman has applied it. If you see a man on the road and say, what's your field? You know, he's telling you, okay, I'm a computer engineer. I'm a building contractor. I'm a mason. I'm a carpenter. I'm a plumber. I'm a doctor. I'm a teacher. He tells you something. Let me drop this one before I go. First thing you aspire for in life is not, let me make money, what makes money? No. It is, what will I be doing in life? That somebody will be in Lagos, they will need it, my name will come to mind. Why do we think it's only preachers they should invite from Lagos? Do you know I get a lot of invitations? Almost all of them is to come and preach. Nobody has ever invited me, Olayinka, have you noticed, to say that you come and present a proposal on development of the rice farms in Nasarawa State. Have you ever heard that before? Somebody calls, is that Pastor Banky? Is that Kingdom World Ministries? We're thinking of developing a rice farm here. Do you guys have a proposal for us? If you hear that one, you know it's 419. One man called me the other day. He said, I'm your friend, Engineer Ajanle Koko from BHCN. I said, these guys are so dull. They can't invent something else. He said, are you in any good day? I said, no, I'm in Oka. He said, it's true. I mean, in fact, myself, I'm now in, I'm now in Niger State. I said, not Niger State, they will carry you to mortuary. That's what I told him. I said, my friend, go and find work. Oh, God, I was not in the mood for talking. I would have kept the guy there for a long time. I would have done the one the other guy did say, ah, Mr. Jale Goku, is it you? I saw your sister the other day. Everybody don't craze for your house. If you haven't seen that joke, you should go and get it. That guy said, I'm a 419 man. The guy said, no, you're not 419. Oh, God. The Lord is good. Now, what's the point I'm making? If I get called from anywhere, I know what they are looking for. Come and preach. I want to leave that with you. God wants to expand you and bring blessing into your life. Say amen.
Amen.
So he says, which field do you want me to pour it in? At the first assignment, let us settle down and negotiate on your field. Is that field that I'm going to pour that grace into? Is that field I am going to pour that gold into? Is that field I'm going to pour that increase into? I don't want testimonies from my children, God is saying, that somebody just say, he's rich, she's rich. And we can't say, this is what he does, this is what she does. He said, your wealth is going to be a story of righteousness. Are you getting my point? It's going to be a story of righteousness, something for young people to follow. There are many politicians in Nigeria who just know they are rich. I won't mention names. So what does his rich do? We don't know. Listen to me. That cannot be your case. God doesn't want that kind of story. He wants your wealth to first create wealth before he returns money to you. By the time you make a million, the value you have created in the lives of people is 10. Do you get my point? That is what God wants to do. I'll continue from that point next. I hope you are blessed today.
Yes,
let's quickly close this, bow down our heads, and just give the Lord thanks. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, I received the grace by faith. Say, Lord, I now understand what wealth means. It's not about, hey, I'm a rich man on this earth. No. It's power to channel your resources. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, let's just declare the word of God. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I receive the power to get wealth.
I receive the power to get wealth.
Poverty is out of my life.
It's out of my mind.
It's out of my spirit.
It's out of my heart.
It's out of me totally.
I
have all sufficiency. Say, God is making all grace abound towards me. God is making all grace abound towards me. I'm having all sufficiency in all things. And I'm abounding to every good work. I'm a positive influence in my environment. I bring forth the righteousness of God. Say this, the Holy Spirit opens my eyes. And I know my field.
I claim my field.
I prophesy upon my field right now. Grace.
Grace.
Say grace.
Grace.
Favor.
Favor.
Increase.
Increase.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Fruitfulness.
Fruitfulness.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say every thorn in my field.
Every thorn in my field.
Be uprooted.
Be uprooted.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say it again. Every thorn.
Every stone,
everything that obstructs productivity, be uprooted out of my field,
out of my life,
in the name of Jesus Christ. See that prayer, you know what it will do for you? Once I heard Ken Hagin teach, two people said that God, if it's your will, oh, let us know for my wife to be healed. A man, the wife was sick. And when they were preaching, when the man was preaching, they found out that it was God's will. I said, that's an answer. Sometimes, you understand, you pray a prayer like that, let me tell you what happened. You know how God will uproot it? I will teach about it next time. He starts giving you information. Many people, why they can't succeed what they are doing, that they don't have the necessary information. Ignorance becomes an obstruction. That prayer will do all kinds of things in your life.
Amen.
And your field will be productive.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
we are passed out of darkness.